Thank you, Sam, and what a wonderful day it is to be able to gather together in the house of God this morning to pay tribute to our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but to also recognize with great honor and great respect those who have served and those who have loved and those who have given much for the preservation of freedom around the world. How grateful we are today for our war dead, for those who have given the ultimate, and that is their own life. I'm so glad that all of you are here this morning, and we're going to be talking about our freedom this morning and the ultimate stars and stripes. You know, many of us sometimes have a tendency to doze off in a lecture, and I hope you won't do that this morning. I heard a story one time about a couple of little boys who were in bed one night, and the father came in, and he began to sing to them, and he certainly didn't have a very melodic voice. And they looked at one another as their heads went under the cover and said, "You know, if we act like we're asleep, he'll quit singing." Well, if you act like you're asleep, I'm just going to keep on preaching, folks. So anyway, I hope you'll listen up this morning as we talk about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, what a wonderful occasion it is here in the year 2013 to remember those who have fought and those who have died in wars previous. And there have been many of them in this country. So many lives have been given, millions of lives, for the preservation of the ability to be able to gather here this morning and worship our God and to pay tribute to the Lord that you and I serve today. You know, several years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity, as I've said before, to go to Washington, D.C., and while we were there, we had the opportunity to visit and to witness with our own eyes many of the monuments that are in Washington, our nation's capital. One of them that probably was the most moving was the Vietnam Wall. When I walked up to that wall, and by the way, those who gave their lives are more than just a name on that wall. But I saw mothers, and I saw fathers. And I saw young children who perhaps never ever had the opportunity to know their father, who had gone off to war and was killed before maybe even that child was born. And perhaps maybe he went off never to come back again. What great love of those who have given so much. And may we never ever forget. You know, when we sit here in the quietness of this hour and we think about the freedoms that we have, freedom is not free. No freedom ever came without price. And the price is being paid every day by our young men and our women who are fighting in Afghanistan and serving our country around the world. We owe such a tremendous debt of gratitude to all of those who serve in every branch of our United States government and those who serve in the military. So this Memorial Day, I hope that we will pause and say to those who serve our country, thank you. Thank you. This morning I want to talk about the ultimate stars and stripes. What are they? You know, a flag is a nation's banner. We learned early on in school that the flag of the United States of America represents many things. And from the days of Betsy Ross, when she designed that first flag, even until now, it is our nation's banner. It is. A nation's banner represents its history and its values. You know, before technology and the advancements in technology, men identified themselves under the flag that they carried. They did. They were saying, "This is my country." and I'm willing to die for it. A Christian, first of all, is one who proudly stands under his Lord's banner. You know, our banner is the cross of Jesus Christ. It is. May we never, ever forget the blood that was shed by our Savior 2,000 years ago, that you and I might be set free. For Jesus said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said in John 17:17, sanctify them for thy truth, for thy word is truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel today, because Paul said in the book of Romans 1 and verse 16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To the power of God unto freedom. And you and I today experience that freedom, and we know that freedom and that liberation from our sin and our death spiritually because of the great price that was paid in our behalf. And in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter and verse 38, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, the glory of his Father, with all of his holy angels. You and I should be grateful today for God, never to be ashamed of him. I hear people say sometimes, I'm ashamed of the flag, and they fly the flag upside down because of all the problems that are going on in our country. Folks, that's no reason to fly the flag upside down. The flag of the United States of America is to be held in great honor and great respect. You know, when I see the flag of America, it represents a lot of things. As a matter of fact, when you come to really think about that flag, it symbolizes a lot of things. It reminds us of a lot of things. The stars remind us of God's heavenly care for you and for me. For you remember 2,000 years ago, in a little city, a little town in Israel called Bethlehem, Christ was born under the stars. And not just under the stars, but under a greater star that God had created and fashioned for the moment. Because of his great care and love for mankind. And God still cares. For in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says that we are to cast all of our cares upon him, for he careth for you. But when I see that flag, I see the stars, but I also see the stripes. The red stripes represent the blood that was spilled for freedom. Not only the blood that was shed for the freedom of our country, and how thankful and how grateful we are for those servicemen and women who gave their lives. But I'm thankful more especially for that blood that was poured out at Calvary and at Golgotha 2,000 years ago for the freedom that we have through Christ our Lord. For in Matthew 26 and verse 28, the Bible says, this is the blood of the covenant, Jesus said, which is poured out for many for the remission of sin. What we just went through a moment ago in the observance of the Lord's Supper, and by the way, we do that every Lord's Day in this church. And the reason that we do that is because it symbolizes unto us the death of our Lord Jesus Christ again. Paul said, as often as you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death until he come. I can't think of anything that should be more meaningful to us today than the observance of the Lord's Supper. When I think about his body that hung upon the tree and his blood that was poured out, how grateful you and I ought to be for our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that freedom has always cost blood? It has. It costs blood in terms of our own spiritual forgiveness. For in the book of Hebrews 9 and verse 22, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If you were to go back in Old Testament times, you would remember that God, from the very dawn of creation, required blood for sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that God made them coats of skin. Those coats of skin came off of animals that died that they might be clothed within that garden. And you remember that God required of Abel, Adam and Eve's son, a blood sacrifice. Cain offered a sacrifice from the field of the harvest of fruits. And God rejected it because God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice because he offered it in faith. I'm so thankful to God. I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful for America because our flag has flown where people have needed freedom from oppression. We talk about the freedom that we have in this country. We should desire it for every nation around the world and every continent. When I think of the fact that it was America who set free not only this country, but other people around the world from terrorists like Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, the ruler of North Korea, and Adolf Hitler, and others like them. I'm so grateful that it was America who set other nations free. Oh, the American flag has suffered, but never died. She may be threadbare and getting worn, but never died. And Christianity has suffered throughout history, but the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been wiped out, even though the church has undergone persecution. And it has around the world, folks, and it is undergoing persecution even in this great United States of America. There are people who belittle the church, who belittle God, who are trying to remove God from every vestige of our history and the future of this great country. Christians have a banner. We do have a banner. Moses said, "The Lord is my banner." Exodus 17 and verse 15. I want you to say it out loud with me. The Lord is my banner. He is our banner. And I hope that we will never, ever forget our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the flag, I think again of the stars and the stripes of Jesus. Jesus was born, as I said, under a star. And by the way, the Holy Scripture refers to Jesus as the bright and the morning star. It is the first star that you see at night, and the last star that you see as the day dawns, the bright morning star. It symbolizes that it is always there. And Christ is always there. He is that morning star. And he died after being tortured with 39 cruel stripes. He suffered to win our freedom. You see, our banner today is Jesus himself, the Christ. For the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, by whose stripes you were healed. But there's a second thing you need to know today, and people need to be reminded of, concerning our banner. For you see, a beloved banner is always defended, always defended by His people. Jesus is our banner. And that beloved banner that we call the flag and that we call the cross is always defended by the people of Jesus. Our star-spangled banner is the cross of Jesus, and we will always defend Him. For it is through Him that prisoners are set free. Praise God. Jesus did rise by the dawn's early light one Sunday morning. When they came to the tomb, they saw that Jesus had been resurrected. Prisoners set free. Our banner yet waves. You know, commitment is an interesting word. People toss that word around a lot. Americans have always taken up the flag and died holding it, only to be replaced by another group of Americans who were willing to die for it as well. And in every generation, the church has proudly waved, stood for, and died for our glorious banner, which is the crucified and risen Christ. And I would say to you, as I would say to all Americans, may God help us as a nation and as a people to always be loyally, faithfully committed to Christ. What is your response to that question? The question, will you? Perhaps it may be yes. It may be maybe. Or even no. And unfortunately, some say no. Some do say no, quite often. But in the book of John 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." God has been pleading for men to come to Him. Do you know America has been pleading with people around the world to come to America, but to come legally? There's a battle going on in Washington right now to know what we ought to do about illegal immigration. I'm all for immigration. Even the Statue of Liberty, it says, come with all of your masses. But come legally. Did you know no man comes to the cross of Christ and attains salvation and freedom unless he comes legally? That is, by the will of God. We have to come according to the will of God. You don't come on your own terms, but you come on the terms of the Savior. And Jesus said, "He that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out." But He also said in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 15 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Many people choose to want to be a Christian in their own way, not in the way of God. They want to chart their own course, form their own blueprint, have their own design for what the church ought to be, their own design for how they believe Christ wants them to obey Him. But why can't we just take the Holy Scriptures and follow the teaching of God? You know, we believe that the Constitution of the United States of America is, in one way, a sacred document to the people of this great country. We always want to argue the constitutionality of every law. We want to make sure that everything that we do follows the edicts of the Constitution and the framers who designed that Constitution. Over 235 years ago, But why is it that we believe that we have the right to augment or change or delineate from anything that is in this word that God has given unto you and to me concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual freedom that we have through Him? We have no right to do so. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." James said, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Listen to that. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you who are half-hearted toward God." James 4 and verse 8. You know, I'm thankful that I live in a country that affords me the opportunity to be a Christian. A Christian first, an American second. My deep loyalty is to Christ. My subordinate loyalty is to the country in which I live. Some people are not proud to be an American. Lee Greenwood sang that song some time ago, became a great classic. It is a great classic. How do you know if you're a true American? Someone said you might be a true American if it never occurred to you to be offended by the phrase or the statement, "one nation under God." You might be a true American if you never professed or protested about seeing the Ten Commandments posted in a public place. You might be a true American if you bow your head when someone prays. You might be a true American if you stand up proudly and cross your heart when they sing the national anthem of this country. You might be a true American if you treat our soldiers, men and women, who have been to battle and have come back home to our great land with respect and honor. You might be a true American if you have never burned the American flag in protest. You might be a true American if you know what you believe and you aren't afraid to stand up and speak out for what you believe to be right. You might be a true American if you respect your elders and expect your children to do the same. You might be a true American if you'd give your last dollar to a friend. And by the way, please don't ever forget that the national anthem is to be sung in English. May God help us to lead our children to Jesus and to help place them under the banner of the cross. And may we ever teach them to remember their American heritage and the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ. Tell them that you're proud to be an American. You're not ashamed of your heritage. You're not ashamed of this country, but tell them that you're even more proud that you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For the Bible says, if the Son shall set you free, then you are free indeed. And this morning, would you let Jesus break the chains of darkness and set you free from your sin? We have the freedom of assembly here this morning, and what a great honor and a privilege it is for us to gather together. But what a tragedy it is that around the world in many places they do not have the right to assemble in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, his name is cursed in many places. His name is refused. His life is rejected. His honor is denounced. So be thankful today that you have that privilege and that right. But be even more thankful for the liberation that took place at the cross. For when you were chained to your sin, and you were destined to die and to go to hell and be lost forever and ever and ever, Christ came into the world, the Bible says, to set the captive free. And this morning, he still desires to set you free. There may be something this morning that you're chained to and you're trying to break away from those chains. It may be a bad habit. It may be something that you've done that keeps haunting you, and it's there in your mind and you can't release it. This morning, would you allow God to do that? He can set you free. If you're willing to commit your life to Him in obedience to His gospel, to His terms, and to come scripturally according to the will of God, through a penitent attitude and a confessing tongue, and yield yourself to Him as a candidate to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, then real freedom can be yours. And we invite you to that freedom as we stand and as we sing.